Happy Monday to each and every single one of you. And what a Monday it is so far. So much breaking news. We're going to go over it all right now. The most recent breaking news, of course, is that President Trump has fired his Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper, and it has just been announced that he has replaced the interim Secretary of Defense with Christopher Miller. So that is our first round of breaking news for the day. My God, it has already been such a busy one here, folks. But that's not the only breaking news of the day. We've also now reached in the United States 10 million cases of COVID-19. Now, I do take issue with this 10 million number because I know a lot of people who listen to the mainstream media, they're going to see that and they're going to go, oh my God, there's 10 million people in America right now who have COVID-19. Wait. How now, brown cow? Let's put a whole pause on that one because it's not 10 million active cases. Remember, we are counting the cases from all the way back in March. That's right. We're counting the cases all the way back in March. So these are a cumulative count of the cases. Many of those 10 million people do not have active COVID-19 right now in any way, shape, or form. So while it is a historic number that you've reached 10 million cases in the United States, it's not 10 million active cases. Not at all. And then when you juxtapose that to the fact that there's still only about 230,000 Americans who have died, again, our percentages are so small. But you know what? COVID in the news today in a big way as well, because the Pfizer Corporation has now announced what we all knew was coming, according to the president. There's a vaccine available, and it's more than 90% effective and treating COVID. This is huge on multiple levels. I tell you what, the president said a vaccine was coming. It looks now that he was right. A vaccine is indeed coming. 90% effective, more than 90% effective. That is huge. But let's also look at some of the other issues here. Have you noticed some of the other issues here? They are saying, well, this is going to go to the FDA for approval. It probably won't be out for the masses until sometime in January. But it says that you need to take it annually. Oh, that's really interesting. So you're telling me it's just like the flu shot, that every single year they're going to have to address the COVID-19 vaccination, that you're going to have to get it every year if you're going to be protected, that it's two shots instead of just one. Oh, this is all very interesting information because that just proves that this is a vaccine that people are not going to get. Of course, there's the people who don't want a vaccine at all, but when you have to get it done twice, when you have to get two shots, people always forget to go get the second one. They always do, whether it's the hepatitis one, or whether it's HPV, whatever. When you need to get a second shot, people just don't do it. And just like with the flu vaccine, you have to get it every year for it to work because last year's flu vaccine won't work with you this year. So really what Pfizer has told us here is that they have come up with a vaccine for the common cold. Because if we remember, coronavirus is just a type of virus that is a cold virus. We've known about the coronavirus for many, many years. It is the strain that was found in the year 2019 that has caused all the hubbub with the pandemic here in the United States. But ultimately, at the end of the day, my friends, this is a cold vaccine. This is a cold vaccine that does focus on COVID-19 that you would have to get every single year and you'd have to get it twice. Will everyone get it? I don't know. You've already got people like Governor Cuomo saying, you know, this is horrible because the Trump administration is going to be administering it. And, you know, these are problems. A really inappropriate comment to come from a governor who will actually be in charge of distributing the vaccine because it's the governors who do it, just FYI. And very, very hypocritical coming from a man who, quite honestly, the reason why there were so many deaths in his state is because of what he did with the nursing home. So really rich. Really, really rich coming from him. So that's the big breaking news of the morning. Every Monday, it seems like there's tons of breaking news, and that is what we are hearing about right now. I do want to now switch on over to the election, because as you know, here in Clark County, and for those of you who are watching, we are broadcast live in here in Las Vegas, Nevada, although people all over the country do watch. We are getting our numbers because, of course, Nevada is still not done counting all those ballots. We're going to take forever on this one, my friends. We've had some changes in these Clark County races that were so important. It now appears that in the race for Senate District 5, which a Republican was winning, Carrie Buck was winning for days on end, she's now losing by 173 votes. It appears that in Senate District 6, Nicole Cannizzaro is now leading by 841 votes, when for days it was April Becker who was in the lead. In the race for county commission, Stavros Anthony, now 509 votes behind. Yesterday, he was down 8 votes. Today, down 509 votes. What does this tell you, my friends? This Nevada race is so much more than just the presidency at this point. This race is so much more. This election is so much more than just the presidency. Here's why. We've got local races. We've got Republican races that before our very eyes, their leads are being taken away. Before our very eyes, their leads are dwindling. And the Democrats are going to win here. And that, my friends, is why there is so much confusion, why so many people believe that there is fraud, why so many people do not believe the results of this election. Because never before in our history in America have we even had these local races where 3, 4, 5, a week later, we don't know who's going to win, and the numbers keep changing. I tell you who's to blame for a lot of this. A lot of states that decided they were going to do all mail and they were going to accept ballots after Election Day. That was one of the worst decisions they could have made in Pennsylvania and right here in the state of Nevada. Because when you look at states that have done mail-in voting, all mail voting for quite some time, do you want to know what they all freaking have in common? It's really important. The thing that they have in common is this. Your ballot has to be received by Election Day. Notice, all mail up in Colorado. No problems with the results there. All mail up in Washington, no problem with the results there. All mail up in Oregon, because they all have to be received the day of. No freaking problems there. But every state that had a dumb governor, like they did in Pennsylvania, and like we do here in the state of Nevada, decided to do things in the darkness of night and try to make it so that there would be chaos and confusion. And this chaos and confusion is bad news for all Americans, because remember what the chaos and confusion of 2000 did. Remember the chaos and confusion of 2000. In fact, when you look at the elections from the past 20 years, almost every single election has been marked with chaos and confusion. Don't believe me? I'm going to show you some tape. That's right. I have picked out some video of people protesting in the streets, people wailing and crying and praying at the Supreme Court in 2000. And you will see that it is just like the video that we are seeing today of people rallying with the Trump campaign. Spencer, do you have that video ready? It is amazing. So chaos and confusion has been a part of our election system now since the year 2000. Take a look at this. What you're looking at right here on the screen, for those of you who are able to watch, I'm sorry for the folks on radio, you don't get to see this. This is video from CNN in the year 2000 of Gore supporters. All of those people are supporting Al Gore. As you can see, they've got their signs. They say more, some of them are saying, you know, more Gore, no more Gore. These are people who are rallying in the streets because they believed at the end of the day that Al Gore had won this election. Here they are. Now we've got people outside the Supreme Court. They've got their Bush signs. This guy is falling to his knees in prayer and thanksgiving because the Supreme Court ruled in Bush's favor. Look at that. Now, in a few minutes, you're going to see video of the types of rallies and riots we're having today. This in Atlanta, Georgia. These are Trump supporters saying liberty, not liberal. You see the Trump flags waving everywhere, because in Georgia, it's a very, very, very close state. I believe an automatic recount is going to be happening there. Look at Phoenix, Arizona there. People standing in droves. Look at DC. People standing in droves. My friends, this is not abnormal in any way, shape, or form. For the past 20 years, we have been questioning elections. Look at that. That's Las Vegas, Nevada. Look at the crowds there in Las Vegas, Nevada. It is unbelievable, and there is nothing abnormal about it. We have been questioning and challenging the results of elections for 20 years now. Here's what we have an amazing opportunity to do, though, my friends. We have an amazing opportunity to actually expose it this time around. And my guest coming up is a lawyer who's going to talk to us more about that. But as we are in the land of confusion, it was a great song from Genesis, and it's where we are right now, the land of confusion. We're going to see what we can get out of it. We're going to see if there is proof. We're going to see if there's actual evidence. We're going to try to uncover the corruption and fraud that exists here. And we must do it, because if we don't do it, my friends, we're in a lot of trouble. No one is ever going to have faith in the election ever again if we don't start dealing with this right now. We need it for our local candidates. I mean, listen, Tom Tillis has 95,000 votes. A 95,000 vote lead over his opponent in North Carolina. They still won't call the election. Here in Nevada, Biden only has a 36,000 point lead, 36,000 vote lead, and they've already called it. It's crazy. More Michelle Mortensen show. Come on, stay with us. That's great.
You gotta fight for your right to run.
Apropos song choice, right? Because you do have to fight for your right to party, but you also have to fight for your rights in America today, because it feels like our rights are just being ignored over and over again. And right now, we're fighting for truth and transparency in an election process. I'm Michelle Mortensen. Welcome back to the Michelle Mortensen Show. If you want your voice heard, we always accept your calls. 702-221-7283 is the number to call to be live here with me on the Michelle Mortensen Show. Also want to let everyone know, we're going to be giving away some prizes at the end of the show when we play a little game of Jeopardy in honor of Alex Trebek. So if you want to win some cool prizes, you'll stay with us till the very end here today. All right, so we're talking about the election and the fraud. We have heard stories out there on the news that maybe a person here who was dead voted, a person who was there dead voted. We are hearing stories of 9,000 Nevadans now who allegedly voted in this upcoming election and did not live in Nevada any longer. Very, very interesting. And many people are saying, okay, but where's the proof? Show me the proof. Show me the proof. Well, yesterday at a rally in Las Vegas, Matt Schlapp revealed some of the evidence, some of the proof that he has. We want to play that sound for you right now so we can really dig a little bit deeper here on what do we have, what don't we have, and how do we go forward? Because my friends, getting the truth out there is more important than ever before. Take a listen to what Matt Schlapp had to say here in Las Vegas.
Dead people voted in Clark County.
Probably thousands.
That is a tricky thing because obviously for these families, this is a very tragic reminder of a loss that they have just recently had to go through. We have two examples that we have talked about and want to talk about today. One is the death of Rosemarie Hartle in 2017. The other is the death of Fred Stokes Jr. in 2017. Miraculously, they both voted.
Wow.
Which means that the voter file that was used to send out these mail-in ballots was not deduped by death records.
No.
We know that underage voters voted in this most recent election. How difficult would it have been to make it clear that nobody would have been mailed a ballot if they had a birth date after a certain year? We know that in this area, which has been gripped with the idea of an economic shutdown, that over 100,000 people left. Yet, through our due diligence, we've been able to find that at least 9,000 of them voted in this election. Non-Nevadans voting in Nevada.
So that is a little bit of the evidence that Match Lab says that they have, that they have identified two people who they know are dead who voted in this election. There are people who are underage who they say they know have voted in this election. Here's the question that I have. Let's bring that forward. Let's investigate that fully. But is it enough to change the outcome of these elections? The one question I think everybody needs to be asking themselves right now is, what is the end game here? Truth and transparency are overturning the election, because it looks more and more that the numbers aren't there in multiple states. It's an uphill climb. It's an uphill battle to get the results changed in multiple states for us to turn around the presidency. Of course, this has not been called in any way, shape, or form. It will still be several weeks before this election is final and before we really know who the president is. But the bigger issue here is that we've got disenfranchised voters everywhere we turn. We have people who say, I'm never voting again. I feel like this isn't fair. This is what we're saying. You know, people are saying, I never want to vote again. We had disenfranchised voters in 2016 who said Russia, 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 and that Russian Facebook pages affected this election. Now we have people saying, well, dead people voted and that affected this election. In 2000, it was, well, there was a pregnant chat and a dimpled chat and that affected this election. Here's the problem. We are losing faith in the electoral system, and that is a big, big, big problem. We aren't Russia. We aren't the Ukraine. We aren't in a place where we are expecting the results to be affected by nefarious leaders and party corruption. But my friends, that's what we're looking at these days, because no matter what, both sides seem to claim there's a problem. So what can we do from a legal perspective? Because I remind you as well, on Friday, we had the breaking news here that on Friday at 5 p.m., the Republican team, the NBGOP, was going to go before a judge and lay out the information, lay out the evidence so that we could actually get somewhere with this corruption case. And it was very, very disappointing to see that that judgment was thrown out shortly after they got before the judge. Even more disappointing, in my opinion, was that the former attorney general of this great state didn't bring any of the evidence that they allegedly had to make this work. How are we going before judges without evidence? That's not good. We all should be angry about this because we need the corruption to be exposed. So what's going on here? Well, I've got the perfect guest to help us answer those questions and how we go forward. His name is Jimmy Gilbert. He is a former boxing champ. Some of you may have watched him on NBC's The Contender, but he is also an attorney right here in the great state of Nevada. And he is my guest right now. Joey, welcome to the big show. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you? Thanks for having me.
Very glad to have you here on the show. So we could talk to you about a myriad of things, but as an attorney, I am curious, what do you see needs to be done here? What does the public need to understand about going before a judge with these cases? What kind of evidence do we need in order to win, in order to continue on the process so we can really get down to the truth of it?
Well, you know, I think what's most important here is that there is, I think it's irrefutable evidence. It's clear cut evidence of dead people voting, as you said, of illegal votes, people not from the state, non-residents voting, underage voting. I mean, there is so much fraud. It is absolutely unbelievable. It's uncontrovertible. I mean, the bottom line is they've got ballots from people that don't live here. They've got ballots from people who are dead. They've got ballots from kids who are underage. I don't know what more you need, but it's gonna be getting this in front of a judge. And there's video evidence, not just in Nevada, but across the country of, you know, not just voter fraud, but people filling out ballots. Then we've got hundreds of thousands of ballots hitting the counts at between 2 and 4 a.m. It doesn't make sense. And so I think what we're gonna have to see is get this information in front of a judge and let the courts rule it, because you're not going to get anywhere with these, Democrat controlled, election boards. It's just a joke.
No, I agree with you. So as a lawyer, what do we do? Because it was very disappointing on Friday. Friday morning, we get this amazing news that we're going to get to go before a judge and present the evidence to see if we can go forward. And by the time they get to the judge, they don't present any evidence, really, and it doesn't go any forward. And like you said, there's video evidence. There's people who have signed affidavits saying, you know what, I'm a poll worker. This is what I saw. We have the list of people who don't live here anymore who voted. We have the list of dead people who voted. Why isn't this getting before the judge? What needs to happen? What needs to be done differently?
Again, you know, I'm not involved in the legal strategy. I've been sounding my own alarms and sending numerous messages down to Trump Legal. I was brought on as a Trump attorney up in the Reno area. I actually just got back from the Registrar of Voters today. We were supposed to be down there supervising. The whole process is a joke. I don't know why they didn't present more evidence. There's plenty of it out there. I wasn't involved in that portion of it. But again, it's going to be getting this incontrovertible, this absolute in your face. I mean, it's so flagrant. I don't know how someone with a straight face can say there's no voter fraud. I mean, it doesn't make sense to me. So again, it's going to be getting the actual evidence in front of a judge and being able to show that there was voter fraud committed. And again, I don't know if they have to take another stab at it. There's things I'd like to do. I've reached out down to Las Vegas offering my help, my resources. I would attack things a little differently. But again, it's going to be putting this evidence in front of a judge, because I think that when you see it and you see how clear it is, there's no question that there's problems here. It's going to be whether or not we can back it up, because a lot of these ballots that were not verified were not observed. I mean, first of all, let me just say this. There's no observation process in the state of Nevada. I was just down at the Registrar of Voters, and the distance is about between 20 to 30 feet. You're sitting in a chair. people are 20 or 30 feet away with their backs turned to you. You can see nothing. This is just the ballot duplication area. Where they take it in to tabulate is behind a chain link fence. You're allowed to stand. You have to look through bookcases that have stuff on it. You can't see anything. You're literally 30, 35 feet. There's nothing to see. There's no way whatsoever you can observe. There's no such thing as an observed ballot process here right now. There's no poll watching. So they're getting to do whatever they want to do. There's, you know, periods of time where just a Republican or just a Democrat is in the tally room alone. They could do whatever they want. And there's no one looking at these signatures on these envelopes. They're not matching them, on top of the fact that they lowered the threshold, meaning that if it's only 40% or 50% like the signature, they're accepting it. Stuff we've never seen before is happening, and it's happening right under our eyes.
It absolutely is. And I think the really concerning part is not just for this election, but for future elections. Spence, I don't know if you are able to get it ready, but the Schumer video I wanted to show, and Joe, I would like you to get your take on this as well, because with right now the Senate in, we don't know how it's going to go. It's all going to come down to Georgia and who's going to have the power there. We could certainly see a situation here where the Democrats have control of the presidency. Democrats have control of Democrats have control of the presidency. Democrats have control of the White House. Democrats have control of the Congress, the House, and the Senate. And what we could end up seeing here is Democrats taking complete and utter control. And obviously, that's what they want. Chuck Schumer said this weekend. Take a listen. It's pretty shocking.
Now we take Georgia, and then we change the world. Yeah! Yeah! I'm sorry, now we take Georgia, and then we change America. Now we take...
Joe, what we're hearing here is that they want to change America. They want to take over the world. We know that they want to make D.C. a state. They want to make Puerto Rico a state. They want to pack the courts. They want to make sure that Republicans never win again. AOC is saying things like, let's take a list of every Trump supporter and make sure that we destroy that. And then other groups are saying, oh, yeah, we're keeping a tally. If we don't address the voter fraud here, and if we don't address the voter fraud right now, the future could be very, 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 very dark for Republicans and any type of alternate voice ever.
Look, Michelle, if this isn't addressed right now, this republic is done. If we do not address this rampant voter fraud that's been happening for decades, it's a wrap. You won't see another Republican governor in Nevada for a long time. What just happened in Las Vegas is what's happened in Detroit, Milwaukee, Portland, New York, Philadelphia. I could just keep going down the line where you've had almost 100 years of Democrat-controlled cities or Democrat-controlled states, and that's what you're going to see. What just happened in Las Vegas over the last 4 or 5 days is absolutely going to destroy the ability of Nevadans to have fair elections from this process, from this point moving forward. It's scary. Chuck Schumer knows exactly what he's talking about. They're definitely trying to steal Georgia. I think the only benefit we have is that we saw the fraud happening because it was so in your face. I mean, you can't have 200,000 plus ballots hit the count rooms between 2 and 4 a.m. and not one out of 130, 140,000 ballots not be for Donald Trump. It's a statistical and mathematical impossibility, but it happened. And again, it's still happening. So I if I was President Trump and I was directing him, I would fight like I've never fought before, because the integrity of our entire process of America, the process of this country, is under attack. And if this is left to stand, I know I'll never have faith in these elections again. Why would I bother voting again? It would mean nothing. And so I really hope that Americans understand how important this is right now. And again, I don't want one vote thrown out. I want to count all the votes, all the legal votes, just like we always do. We want to count the legal votes. But if you have votes that don't match, if you have votes that don't have a signature on them, if they can't confirm them, if they can't validate them, that's the way it works. Okay. And so at the end of the day, we just want a fair process. And after 4 years of the Russia, 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 and not accepting the results of the 2016 election, I think it's very premature to tell all of us that we need to accept this. 71 million Americans just need to accept it and move on when they challenge the results of the 2016 election for 4 years. So we need to take a breath and let this work its way out through the courts. And I happen to be the biggest optimist. Anybody that knows me knows I'm an eternal optimist. I think that when it's all said and done, especially in Pennsylvania, Michigan, Georgia, where we're now really getting to be able to take a good look, Arizona, at what was really going on, and this software that they used, okay, this Dominion software they used, where they found huge problems in one Michigan county where there were 6,000 votes that had to be flipped back to Trump. Well, that was used in 47 counties. So we're going to see numbers there. But the other problem was it was used in 30 states, Nevada being one of them. So we are a long ways from being done. And Americans need to really realize how important this is and stand up for a fair and straightforward election.
I agree. And whether these court cases go anywhere or not before the judges, I think it's so important that we do expose all proof of any type of mismanagement of elections as possible, because the future is at stake. And the disenfranchised voters are what I'm worried about, because it's not just 2020 people are disenfranchised. This has been 20 years now. And I'm afraid that the next 20 years are going to get even dicier if we don't begin to address these issues. And that's the real big problem, is that people now have lost complete faith in the system. The left has lost faith in the system, because in 2016, they didn't believe it. They said it all had to be Facebook and Russia's fault. And now in 2020, we've got Republicans saying, hey, there's voter fraud. Dead people were voting. This isn't okay. There shouldn't be anyone in America who goes, dang, this is great.
Yeah, it's actually hard to stomach and see the celebrations and see the people talking about Biden winning. There's just no way. And if you look, I mean, I've pulled the stats. If you look at how he compared with candidates, Democrat Senate candidates in states where he won, there's a separation of 60 to 90,000 votes because only Biden's name was marked. Does anybody really believe that happened when Trump separated by maybe 300 to 1,000? Votes between him and the Republican candidates. So there is stuff that's not just anomalies. Like I said, there's statistical and mathematical impossibilities. 125% voter turnout, 99% voter turnout, 89% voter turnout in places where they, the max they had was 65 or 70% voter turnout. And yet Joe Biden, up to that minute, was underperforming Hillary Clinton in those same cities on the same night of the election. And then magically over a few hours, he shoots up. They find 150,000 votes for him. It just doesn't make sense. And I just think everyone needs to take a deep breath and let the people, the lawyers and the courts see this, hear this. And the evidence that's got to be presented, there's evidence out there, video evidence of ballots being filled out. There's evidence of dead people voting. There's evidence of underage kids voting. There's evidence of non-residents voting. That all has to be put in front of the courts. It has to. And until that happens, we should not concede anything. We should not do anything besides take deep breaths and keep pushing. And I'll tell you this. General Flynn said something that he was talking in one of his interviews. He said that every American should do everything they can right now. No matter how small you think you are, no matter what you should be on your social media. You should be writing your election officials. You should be volunteering. This is go time. American patriots, American, anyone that loves this country should be exercising their voice, their freedom of expression, of speech, and get out there and be loud, because that's how democracy dies in darkness. No one should accept this. We should all be loud, and we should be vocal, and we should be engaged.
And I do have a question for you, because I am not a lawyer. I am just a member of the media for the majority of my adult life. And so I really believe in truth and transparency. I think truth and transparency trumps all. I think one of our biggest problems in America today is people don't trust the media. People don't like the media. And there's lots of reasons for it. But with the evidence that people have, is there any way that can come out to the American people? Or does it have to go before a judge before it can go out to the American people? Because there is so much doubt. I mean, even as people are watching the show, there are people fighting, saying, there's no evidence of voter fraud. Y'all are lying. And other people say, no, I saw it. My boyfriend taped it. So we've got this he said, she said argument. I want to understand why, from a legal perspective, we're just not putting this all out very, very transparently so that's verifiable, because you've got the media questioning whether there's fraud. You've got people, voters questioning whether there's fraud. If there's evidence, can't it just come out? Or is there some legal reason why it has to go before a judge first?
Well, first and foremost, Michelle, the biggest problem is that the media, the mainstream media, as I like to refer to them, the fake news media, they're in the tank. They're not allowing any of this voter fraud discussions to take place. I mean, CNN has up there no voting irregularity that's taken place. As a matter of fact, if you try to go on Facebook or Twitter or Instagram, you're immediately met with a greeting that says President Biden has been elected and there's been no issues with voting. I mean, it's absolutely ludicrous. So the problem is, you know, you can't just present the evidence. The news and media bureaus that control this country, and they really do, they work hand in hand with the Democrat Party. They are not allowing stories from across the nation. And I'm not talking a few dozen. I'm talking hundreds of stories from voting precincts across the country, voting locations across the country. The data and the information and the video is going to be, evidence is going to be overwhelming. And that's why I think it's going to have to get to a court, because no one in CNN is going to talk about it. And how I can tell you about that is just look to your left or right when you're on the freeway and you see someone driving in their car with their mask on and they're by themselves. Okay. That right there will tell you what CNN does. It's the truth though. Okay. They're in their car. They got their mask on. You got the CDC saying the masks don't work. They're in their car and they're wearing a mask. Thank you, CNN, because every night when you put on CNN, you see the infection numbers. They don't show the death rates plummeted. They don't show the hospitalizations, although are up, are in the same place they are every year, this time of year for the flu season. Hasn't changed at all, except they're calling all flu COVID. And so now, again, all I would say to you is the reason why we can't gain any traction is because you got people driving in their cars alone with the mask on. And that should tell you everything you need to know about the American public and where they get their information and education from.
That's true. And I was ranting earlier that, you know, it's now that there's 10 million cases in the U.S. That is an abhorrent lie, because they are counting the cases all the way back from March. And someone who got COVID in March is no longer dealing with COVID now. So it's not 10 million active cases. But of course, they refuse to do that. And they just want a running total. Also, back to the media.
Go ahead. The other thing that's so important is that in Nevada, Massachusetts, and New York, the PCR testing that we're using has a 90% false positivity rating. And it actually says on these PCR tests to not be used the way they're using them, because all it would do was frighten and send panic and fear through the population, because even if you test positive, it doesn't mean you have the coronavirus. Yet everybody's getting tested. The numbers are shooting up and it's mass hysteria again. And what is Biden saying already on day one? A national mask mandate. It's absolutely insanity. But again, this is the life we're living.
Which is 100% unconstitutional. You're a lawyer. You can stress that. He can't have a national mask mandate, and he knows it. He'd have to force every governor and every mayor to do that, because you can't do a national mask mandate.
No, you can't. Not for something that, with you and me, I know your age, that between 19 and 60, you're talking a 99.980627 survivability rating if you catch it and have complications with it. But the biggest problem is that's still happening today in hospitals in this state, which is disgusting, is there's therapeutics across the country that are working that would prevent hospital admissions, that would prevent people from ever having to come in the hospital. Do you know that they're only allowing 1 gram of vitamin C to be pushed in our hospitals, when these people should be on massive doses of vitamin C, on massive doses of zinc? I mean, there's so many things we could be doing. Like, you can't even say the word hydroxychloroquine without getting censored anymore. Or at least if I put up a video, it gets taken down. But still to date, and when you look at the Great Barrington Declaration, and you see the doctors, the healthcare, the real doctors, epidemiologists, those with masters and PhDs in public health, they're all saying we have the medications, we have the therapeutics to shut this down. This isn't even necessary. But yet here we are keeping the panic and fear going, and now a mask mandate. And if they shut this economy down again, we're really going to be in a lot of trouble.
I am terrified of that, but that all speaks to the leadership of Governor Sisolak. And Governor Sisolak is the one who got the crappy tests. Everybody said not to go get them. He went and got them anyway. Governor Sisolak is the one who locked the city down for too long and locked the entire state down for too long, destroying our economy. Everything goes back to Governor Sisolak. The problem is with this wonky election right now, it looks like Nicole Cannizzaro may slide right back in into being the Senate Majority Leader. Looks like Christy Watson might win over Carrie Buck. And these are huge losses because it means we're not going to have a checks and balance over this freaking governor. They're going to be the ones doing the redistricting, and not to be a Debbie Downer, but it's not looking very good if you're a Republican in the state of Nevada right now.
Yeah, it's a wrap if you're a Republican in the state of Nevada right now. I don't see a Republican getting elected in many areas. Again, I mean, there's a few safe areas in some of our rural areas and whatnot, where rural Nevada is. But I'll tell you right now, as far as some of the big things, the way that they have fixed, and that's just the way to say it, the fix was in. It's been in from the beginning. That's why these restrictions and these lockdowns were the hardest hit in these exact swing states. They were so brutal, and they were done for one reason and one reason only, to usher through this garbage mail-in ballots. I mean, 600,000 mail-in ballots in Nevada. I mean, are you kidding me? I mean, we knew what was going to happen here. We've been saying it since July, and there's no way to stop it now. And again, this same system now is in place and going to be used moving forward. And what Nevadans don't understand is maybe you didn't like Trump. Maybe you weren't, a fan of the president. But I hope you are a fan of Nevada, and I hope you love this state and you want to see this state succeed. And right now we are devoid of leadership. We have no leadership. We have just someone who's doing what he wants to do for his own benefit and for the benefit of the DNC. And that is going to hurt this state big time. And again, I don't see a Republican getting elected in a meaningful way or in a meaningful position again for a very long time out here.
Sadly, I don't either, especially if we keep having weak Republican leadership, which is something that we've unfortunately seen far too much of here in the state of Nevada. Joey, I'm so glad that you joined us today. It was so apropos that this worked out. Tell everybody where they can follow you online, on Twitter, Facebook, wherever you're at.
Sure. I'm on Facebook, just to Joey Gilbert. You can Google me there. And I tell people this because I am working close with the campaign. But if you have problems with your vote, your ballot, or you check your vote and it's not there, it's not showed up, please take a screenshot of it, track it, go on the Secretary of State page, go on my webpage, go on my Facebook page. There's plenty of stuff up there to follow it. Track it, take a screenshot of it, and send it to media@joeygilbertlaw.com. That's media, M-E-D-I-A, @joeygilbertlaw.com. I'm getting that into the incident report, and we're filing it up line. We've had almost 2,000 people contact us. And again, we're walking them through. I'm having my staff, I've dedicated staff to go back and help people make sure that it's just not a glitch. But there are tons of problems with Nevada voters not having their vote counted, and those that did not vote that are now showing they voted. And guess who it's showing they voted for? Not someone they would have voted for, Joe Biden. So it was a big mess. But again, people can reach out to me. Just Google Joey Gilbert and get your information to me, and I'll make sure it gets to the right people.
All right. Thanks, Joey. Appreciate having you on, and we will talk to you again soon, hopefully. Thank you again for being part of the show. All right. Well, other things that I think we need to be looking at, too, of course, is this great state of Georgia, because that is going to be a race that, let me just be very, 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 very blunt. Republicans are going to have to win that race if we want any check and balance of this Biden administration, because, of course, if the Democrats get control of the Senate, it is bad news bears for everyone. Those two Senate seats are the most important and the most powerful. And we can't just let the media control this one, because as I stated earlier, remember, let's go back to the state of North Carolina. Tom Tillis is leading his Democrat opponent by more than 95,000 votes. And yet the media refuses to call that election for Tom Tillis, still saying it's just far too close to call. Listen, North Carolina is in Trump's corner, and it's in Tom Tillis's corner as well, but they refuse to call it, which is a crying, crying, crying shame when you consider they said that Biden won Nevada with just a 36,000 vote lead. This is the ridiculousness that we're seeing right now, and that's why media like this show is so important. If you want to make journalism great again, if you want to make sure that the truth is out there, you got to support this show. MichelleMortensen.com is the way that you become a subscriber. Your money keeps us on the radio. It keeps us on the air. It keeps us streaming live. And we have got to have a voice in this era, because the next 20 years, we have to fight for our future. I've got two little girls. I have got to fight for their future. And you've got to fight for it too. And my friends, if we don't have a voice in the media, we are not going to be able to fight for anyone. For far too often, we have let crappy Republican leadership run the show. And they have failed us here in the great state of Nevada. They haven't failed us all over the country, but here in the great state of Nevada, they have. It is time for us to rise up, to have new, fresh voices, because this is too big of a deal for us to get caught with our pants down. There is no way that we can have that happen going forward. All right, my friends, there is still so much Michelle Mortensen show to come. I want to encourage you right now, if you can, as we're listening. What is the song called again? I picked it back. For sad news about Alex Trebek passing away this weekend from pancreatic cancer. So, so sad. I know everyone loved that show. You know, I've been in TV news for almost 20 years now. And I got to tell you, I think I've almost always worked for a TV station that aired Jeopardy. And Alex Trebek was always a huge part of our lifestyle, right? My dad always watched Wheel of Fortune and Jeopardy every night. So, so, so sad. We can play some games of Jeopardy here in the last few minutes of the show and win some great prizes. We've got gift certificates, bag motos, and Michelle Mortensen swag gave away. So 702-221-7283 is the number to call if you want to play. While we wait for that, I want to play a quick soundbite from Greg Gutfeld over the weekend. He just really gave an interesting perspective on, you know, the bright side of this election in regards to what President Trump has done. Take a listen to what he had to say here.
I just want to mention that I am actually really optimistic about what's going to happen. We keep thinking about what's next, but remember how much Donald Trump accomplished within 4 years, okay? This was probably one of the most consequential political phenomenons we've ever seen. Whether you hate him or love him or you're somewhere in between, you got 200 federal judges, you got 3 Supreme Court justices, you got Middle East peace plans coming out the wazoo. He broadened the appeal of the Republican Party to blue collar and black voters. Let's hope the Republicans capitalize on that. And you know what? And this is something that the left just should be thanking him for. He didn't start a single war. He upset you guys and kept you up at night with tweets. So the good news is this guy did a lot. And the even better news is he's going nowhere. So even if he loses this election, I said this yesterday and people laughed, but trust me, 2024, he's going to be the nominee, and I'll be in my early 40s, so I can consider being the VP. I'm not sure how I feel about it, but I think that barring any health issues, he's going to be back. And the fact that he doesn't drink means that he's not going to change. You know what I mean? But I think that if you're a Trump supporter, you got to feel good. You won. The guy broke the system. He broke the mold. He broke the media. He broke the pollsters. He broke the entire political machinery. Nothing is ever going to be the same. You're never going to see the same thing after Trump, unless it's Trump.
Yes.
And that's 100% true. You know, there is a bright side to all of this, is that the mold has been broken and things have changed. We have now seen non-career politicians make it to the highest office in the land. We have now seen that we went through an entire presidential term with not one single war. That's huge. We have seen the Republican Party grow in a major, major, major way right now, and where the blue-collar workers are now a part of us and a part of what the Republican Party is doing. That in itself is absolutely huge. I love it. So there are a lot of good things that win or lose this election. And I'll be honest, it's going to be a hard one to reverse this. And think about this. If we did reverse this election, that would be immensely difficult as well, because you would have the left say that it's completely illegitimate. It would just be absolute and utter chaos. But the future, I think, no matter what, is looking very, very, very bright for us. Here's why. We've made a change in this party. We have finally said that you don't have to be some elitist, I went to Yale, I've got a famous last name party person, to be in politics. And that is huge. And that is something that we should cherish forever. It is such a big deal. And I can't say that enough at all. It's just huge. And if you think about it, I think we're going to look back on this time when we, history is always 2020, right? Hindsight is 2020. I think we're going to see that the economy was amazing. The fact that we were able to prevail over COVID the way that we did, the fact that we had such huge medical advancements. I mean, earlier today, we were seeing record highs on the stock market. I haven't checked the stock market here in the last few minutes, so I don't exactly know where we are stock-wise, but we are seeing that the economy survived. We survived. And that is a huge deal, my friends. It is a very huge deal. And I don't want us to ever forget that. I don't want us to get disappointed. I don't want us to be upset about it. I want us to realize that we've done good, y'all. We have absolutely done so well. We got Phil on the line right now. Phil, are you there?
Hi, how's it going?
Hey, Phil, nice to talk to you. Are you ready to play a quick game of Jeopardy?
I am. I usually don't know the answer to the questions on Jeopardy, but hopefully I can make it happen today.
All right. Well, I'm going to give you, you get to pick. You can either do word origins as your category. You can do name that tune setter, or you can do crossword clues K. Which one do you want to choose?
Crossword? I don't know. The last one that you had said?
All right. The answer is Barbie's bow.
Barbie bow?
Yeah, Barbie's bow.
I gotta be honest with you, I have no idea.
Oh man, okay, it's who is Ken? I'll give you one more. I'll give you one more. Let me see here. We are gonna pick, okay, one syllable cities. As the old saying goes, this city wasn't built in a day.
Oh, Rome. Rome was.
Yes. All right. You're a winner today, Phil. I love it. We will get a prize off to you very soon. All right. We are running at the end of the show here. So that means I'm going to have to call it short. Not going to be able to get anyone else on the line to play Jeopardy. But as you know, we play games every single week. And look, Deb, she knew that it was Ken. All right. We are going to end with an appropriate song today. We didn't start the fire. My friends, we didn't start the fire, but we're going to bring the fire and we're going to finish it. All right. Have a fantastic Monday, everyone. We'll see you back here on Friday. It's going to be a huge show. Dan Ball from One American News Network is going to be on the air. He's a friend of mine. He's got a great new show. We're going to talk about that and so much more.